The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Friends on Friday, August the 2nd.
The Tooth.
August the Tooth. It's good to have you here. Larry Brown, a storyteller, songwriter. Yeah, you don't have your guitar with you today.
Well, I've got a bit of a story.
So we're not going to have guitar music today.
Maybe next time.
All right. So what is the story about Larry Brown?
Well, this is political satire, political parody, perhaps, but it's classic. It's a regional classic.
And no matter what time period we are in, as far as year, this is going to be current, isn't it?
Of course.
You could listen to this, if somebody archived this program and listened to it 50 years from now, it would still be current.
The truth will be current. The metaphors will be old.
Okay. All right. So here is Larry Brown with a political story.
The Sultan was one of those men who was so impressed with his own power and his looks that every morning when he adorned himself with his royal attire, his poofy crown and his lush robes, he admired himself in the mirror. And once a week, he'd bring in a barber. He wanted to look his best, get that beard trimmed, get that hair just right. One morning, the barber came in, and the Sultan removed his poofy crown, and the barber started to work, combing, snip, 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 combing, snip, 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 and began to chuckle and laugh, because right there, growing out of the top of the Sultan's head, were two horns, much like goat's horns. The Sultan, of course, was disturbed about that phenomena, and he grabbed the mirror and looked and realized what was going on, and he said to the barber, "You saw those horns. No one can see those horns. I'll be an embarrassment to all of my peers. Why, I'll have no control over my own realm." And he dismissed that barber to the dungeon, said, "I'll take care of you later." Well, you know, a week went by, and he needed to have his hair done again, so he called in another barber. That barber removed the poofy crown, started to comb and sniff, and to snicker, because there were those horns growing out the top of the Sultan's head. Well, immediately that barber was dismissed to the dungeon to be dealt with later. Well, this went on week after week after week until there was no other barber left in the Sultanate except for one poor, lowly barber named Nasruddin. Well, when Nasruddin was summoned to go to the Sultan, his wife was really impressed. Nasruddin was a bit nervous, but he went into the royal chamber, and there the Sultan removed his poofy crown, and Nasruddin began to comb and snip, comb and snip, comb and snip, comb and snip. Finally, the Sultan said, "Nasruddin, did you see anything peculiar?" Nasruddin said, no, nothing at all." Went on. The king got his mirror and looked and said, "Nasruddin, you did not see the horns growing out the top of my head?" "No, didn't notice." The Sultan said, "I know you saw my horns, but because you didn't say a word, I'm going to let you live. In fact, I may have you back to cut my hair again, but you must never tell another person what you saw." Nasruddin was dismissed. He went on home to his wife, who was anxious to hear about what happened, and he almost started to tell her, but then he realized if he opened his mouth and began to talk, he would reveal the Sultan had horns, so he just shut his mouth. Well, she prepared a meal for him, and he sat down to eat. But as he was about to eat, he realized if he opened his mouth to eat or drink, he was liable to blurt out that the Sultan has horns, so he chose not to eat or drink. Well, by the evening, he was very tired. He went to bed, and he started to go to sleep, and he realized, but if I go to sleep, I'm liable to dream, and in my dream, I'm liable to blurt out that the Sultan has horns and off of my head. So he didn't sleep. Now, a person can only go so long without speaking, without food or drink, without sleep, and after a few days, Nasruddin could not take it any longer. He finally just burst out of his house, went up into the mountains as far as he could go, way beyond civilization. He finally came to a huge cave, and there a little spring emerging out of the cave, and he looked around, no one was there, and he shouted out into the cave, "The Sultan has horns!" Oh, did that feel good to finally get it released. Oh, he made his way happily back to town, thinking, now I can eat and drink and sleep. Things will be normal. Little did he know that right after he left the cave, a shepherd boy had come to the cave, there bringing his sheep and goats, and there watering his flock. He had pulled a reed from the spring and fashioned a little flute. And he began to play that flute, and it made a most mysterious sound. In fact, that flute played, "The Sultan has horns, the Sultan has horns, the Sultan..." Oh, that was delightful. Well, that shepherd boy led his flock back to the village playing that flute, which was announcing to everyone, "The Sultan has horns, the Sultan has horns." And everyone began to hear and to laugh. Word began to spread through the village, next village, all across the Sultanate, the entire realm. People were hearing that the Sultan had horns and were laughing. And of course, all of those kingdoms and sultanates next door began to hear. And when word got back to the Sultan, he was not amused. He summoned Nasruddin immediately to his court and said, "Nasruddin, I warned you, you were not to tell another person that I have horns." And Nasruddin got down on his knees and pleaded and said, "I did not tell anyone. I did not eat or drink. I didn't sleep. I did not open my mouth. I went up into the mountains and shouted into a cave, but I told no one." And the Sultan looked down and said, "Nasruddin, I believe you. Because of your honesty, I'm going to spare your life. In fact, I think I want to keep you as my barber. And, well, since everyone already knows now, I guess you're free. I guess, no matter how hard you try to keep a secret, the truth will always come out."
Oh, that's good. That's good, Larry Brown.
The Sultan has horns.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out where that story was going, but I like the end of it. The truth will always come out. Yeah.
Of course.
Good story. If people want to have you come and tell stories, or if they want you to sing for them, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they may get a hold of me. I'll look at my website, which is brownstory.com.
www.brownstory.com.
Yeah. Or they can reach me by email at brownstory@hotmail.com.
Okay. Anything coming up in the month of August in this area?
Well, I've got some private things going on. No public performances coming up. I'm going to be at the National Storytelling Network later, and at their meeting in Richmond, Virginia. I have some responsibilities there. But coming up in September, there'll be some things, and we'll let you
tell
know.
Us about that. Okay, we'll Larry Brown, thank you so much for coming by. The truth
will always come out.
They'll set you free also. We're out of time for today. Monday, Vera Massey will be with us. Our program, directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers from KBIA. Our floor director is Rich Polzine. And our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. If there's something you would like to hear, I would love to hear from you. Drop me an email, pepperp@missouri.edu. And you can watch this or listen to this program at kbia.org. Bye-bye.